for our Old Testament reading, which will also be the basis of our sermon this morning, we'll be reading Psalm 23, verses 1 to 6. And for our New Testament reading, John chapter 10, verses 1 to 16. Psalm 23, verses 1 to 6. Follow me with your eyes as I read God's word. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yet though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Turn your Bibles to John chapter 10, verses 1 to 16. John chapter 10, verses 1 to 16. John chapter 10, verses 1 to 16. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Verse 7, then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and I will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But the hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. May the Lord be blessed through the reading of his word. The sermon, the title of our sermon this morning is, For the Sake of His Name, Who Knows Us by Name. For the sake of his name, who knows us by name. Before I proceed, I would like to thank Pastor Scott and the elders of Grace OPC for this opportunity once again to preach before I go back to my home country in the Philippines. And thank you so much. I appreciate your prayers, your concern, and all the blessings that you have extended to me. And I'm very blessed beyond measure for this opportunity to be here in Alaska. Before leaving San Diego to come up here, all my concern was, I want to go home right away. And I was scared because I didn't know if I would survive the winter. But now I'm complaining that it's so warm here in Alaska. I was in Palm. We passed by Palmer last Thursday, and it was 91 degrees Fahrenheit. Or in the Philippines, probably 32 degrees Celsius. Feels Celsius there. But oh boy, this is a good preparation for me to come back to the Philippines. Because it's going to be way worse, but I'm excited. Of course, this is going to be bittersweet. I'm so excited to be back to my home country, to my family, to see my fiance, to see my friends and minister there. But it's always, but it's going to be tough for me because I've made a lot of good friends, brothers and sisters here, and partnership for the ministry of the gospel, not just here in the States, but also in the Philippines. So once again, the title of our sermon this morning is For the Sake of His Name, Who Knows Us by Name. Before we proceed, let us pray for God's blessing. Our good God and Father, in whom all fullness of wisdom and light is found, mercifully enlighten us by your Holy Spirit and the true understanding of your word. Give us grace to receive it in true fear and humility. Teach us through your word to place our trust only in you, to serve and honor you as we ought, that we may glorify your holy name in all our living, to edify our neighbor by our good example, rendering to you the love and obedience which faithful servants owe their masters and children their parents. For it has pleased you graciously to receive us among the number of your servants and children for Christ's sake. And in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Psalm 23 is probably the most famous, or one of the most famous Psalms, and the 150 Psalms that we have in our scripture. And perhaps some of you have also memorized it. They say that familiarity breeds contempt, right? In some sense. But there is no other way for us to benefit fully from the promises of God in Christ Jesus through the Holy Spirit, apart from being reminded of God's word over and over again, individually and corporately, as his flock. Psalm 23 reminds us of this truth, which will be the focal point of our sermon this morning. Psalm 23 reminds us that because God assures us his abiding presence through the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we ought to seek care and comfort from him alone in fervent communion and firm confidence through his word. Let me say that once again. Psalm 23 reminds us that because God assures us his abiding presence through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we ought to seek care and comfort from him alone in fervent communion and firm confidence through his word. In times of adversity, when we forget that God is still the caring and comforting Father, or in moments of prosperity, when we forget that God alone is the source of all the abundance that we are enjoying, the only way for us to be brought back to the path of righteousness is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who knows us and calls us by name, for we are his sheep, and he is the good shepherd. There are two things that I seek to remind myself and each one of us today as we meditate upon Psalm 23. First, he gives us everything that we need. He gives us everything that we need. Second and last, he guarantees us eternal dwelling. From Psalm 23, we can see that God is our good shepherd. He gives us everything that we need. And second and last, he guarantees us eternal dwelling. Let us begin expounding our first point. He gives us everything that we need. Let me say that once again. He gives us everything that we need. I did not say he gives us everything that we want. I did not say that he gives us everything that we think we need. But he gives us everything that we need. As the good shepherd, God gives everything that his sheep needs. David knew well what he was saying here, because he was a shepherd himself before he became a king. He was a shepherd who took good care of the sheep entrusted to him. He calls to remembrance, nevertheless, that whatever good he did for the sheep entrusted to him, all the things that he did for those sheep entrusted to him, he knew very well that it will always fall short of the abundance of God's goodness expressed in the way God shepherds his people. Even the best efforts of David as a shepherd to those sheep fell short in comparison to the kind of care and comfort and love and provision that God gives us, His sheep. God shows us that He's the Good Shepherd, both in how He provides for His flock and how He protects His flock. That's why David is not ashamed to say, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And we ought to have the same full confidence in the goodness of our God, our shepherd, that as we come together as His church, the church of our Lord Jesus Christ, we may proclaim, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." That we shall lack nothing because the Almighty God is our good shepherd, if we are indeed the sheep of His pasture. With this, we are reminded that the very first thing that God provides for us as His sheep is the relationship that we have with Him. That's the first thing that He provides for us. What did Paul say in Romans 5:8? But God demonstrates His own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We were God's enemies. We were not worthy to be called children of God, even His servants. But God, in His goodness and in His kindness and in His mercy, through our Lord Jesus Christ, He gave us this new reality before Him, that we were called, we were reckoned among the number of God's sheep. He made us His sheep, His children. That we are His sheep and He is our shepherd, reckoning us among the number of His flock, which is the ground or the basis of God's generous and gracious provision for all the needs of those who look to Him as their shepherd. John Calvin reminds us in this way: His choosing us to be His sheep and His performing towards us all the offices of a shepherd is a blessing which proceeds entirely from His free and sovereign goodness. Not because we are good, not because we are worthy, but solely on the basis of God's goodness, kindness, and grace through our Lord Jesus Christ. By the grace which our Almighty God freely poured upon us through the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we may be assured that God gives us everything that we need, that we shall not lack of anything that is good for us, His flock. His provision includes everything needed for our care and comfort. Like what we can see here in Psalm 23. He makes us lie down in green pastures, both to feed from the rich source of food and to rest under the reliable shelter, safe from the scorching heat of the sun. I know you can relate well to that. We ourselves may testify to God's irrefutable goodness in the way He provides for all our needs. How He never fails to feed us. How He never fails to feed us, to clothe us, to shelter us, and even to grant us the privilege to enjoy the abundance of God's blessings over us. When was the last time that you paused and reflected just before you say that, with your eyes closed, enjoying that simple glass of cold water? Isn't that one of the irrefutable evidences of God's goodness toward us? Even those simple things, God shows us how He faithfully provides for all our needs. Aren't you thankful that God is also concerned about the way we enjoy food? He created us with thousands of taste buds. I don't know how many taste buds we have in our tongue, but that's just part of His goodness. We ought to be thankful because what God wants us for our good is also for His glory. Some people think of the God of the Scripture as the tyrannical God who is just waiting for someone to commit a mistake and then, I got you there. That's not how our God is. Our God is the gracious God, who faithfully provides for everything. David reminds us that the Lord, as the good shepherd, leads us, his flock, beside quiet waters, where we may drink from gently flowing waters. For rapid streams are inconvenient for sheep to drink in, and are also for the most part hurtful. On a side note, I would have never thought or imagined that I'm going to be here. I was just hoping that I would finish college. I was, by God's grace, I know I was given like academic advantage. But having a life that is ruled by anger and wrath against my father, who abandoned me when I was a child, all my motivation was, I'm going to be a self-made man. I'm going to be a self-made man. I'm going to be a lawyer someday. And I will file charges against my father. Or if I don't get things on my own way, that way, I will hit him with a car that I bought with my own money. My father never bought a can of milk for me. But thanks be to God, He's our Father. That even though our earthly fathers fail us to the uttermost, God never fails His children. I just wanted to finish college. You know, far from being a prosperity gospel preacher, that's not the point here. Like what I said, God does not guarantee us to give us everything that we think we need or we want. God gives us everything that we need according to His wisdom. But let me just share a piece of my heart. I just wanted to finish college. But I was never able to do so when my heart was ruled by my anger against my father. But when God, in His providence, allowed me to see that I am a sinner myself, who stands in great debt before Him, that I myself ought to seek forgiveness from our God the Father, that I may also dispense forgiveness to my Father. 2009, I reconciled with my father. And that's when I started seeing things according to the scripture, not like the prophets, but what I mean, seeing things in the right perspective, according to God's will. That it's not according to your own wisdom. It's not according to your own timetable. God allowing me to see that you are the sheep. No, Kirby, you are the sheep. I am the shepherd. So let me handle these things for you. My brother and I were picking empty bottles, and we needed to clean them so that we may sell those bottles in order to put food on the table. We were stripping copper wires from old wires. We were collecting old newspapers just to make both ends meet. But here I am, I'm blessed. Not the financial aspect, actually, but blessed to have the privilege to meet brothers and sisters in Christ in other parts of the world. On my own, I couldn't stand here. I know Pastor Scott would also testify to that. On our own, we would never have the audacity to stand here and preach the gospel. But why do we do it? Because God, through our Lord Jesus Christ, He's our chief shepherd, and He has counted us, or given us the privilege to be His under-shepherds, to shepherd the flock, to preach His word. Not only food, shelter, and water that the shepherd provides for his flock, but also cure for whatever disease that ails the sheep, in order to restore the sheep to full strength and wellness. We don't have the luxury of time to discuss each of the common sickness that sheep are prone to, for they are many, and I'm not an agriculture major. But all of us would understand that most of the consequences of the diseases that the sheep commonly suffer are restlessness, sluggishness, paralysis, and even death. Thus, the shepherd does everything to make sure that the right cure would be given to his sheep. Even if it is just one of the many sheep entrusted to him. He feeds the sheep, supports it, monitors its progress, and rejoices when the sheep is finally restored to its health and vigor. David speaks of God in this way, for God delights in doing exactly the same thing for us. He restores us. He applies the balm of healing through His word, reminding us of His promises, which He faithfully fulfilled, and those which He will also fulfill according to His perfect, wise, and holy counsel. God supports us. He guides us. He leads us to the paths of righteousness. John Calvin once again beautifully expresses this in this way. God is in no respect wanting to His people, seeing He sustains them by His power, invigorates and quickens them, and averts from them whatever is hurtful, that they may walk at ease in plain and straight paths. And for what reason? May I ask you, for what reason? Is it because we are worthy? No. What we can see here is God faithfully shepherds us through our Lord Jesus Christ for the sake of His name. For the sake of the name of the Lord who knows us by name. For He is the Lord. Whenever you see the word Lord with all caps in Hebrew, that's the name of our God, which He revealed to Moses in the burning bush. The covenant-keeping God, the Almighty God, who stoops down and condescends to our lowliness by His grace and mercy, to fulfill His promise to us, I will be your God and you will be my people. Not by any merit of our own, but for the glory of God, who is glorified in doing everything for the good of His people. For His people who are sealed with the name of the Lord Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. This is the assurance that the Word of God gives to us. This is the assurance that the Word of God gives to us. That although as people likened to sheep, you know, we are likened to sheep not because we are cute, not because we are fluffy, but the reality is because no creature will lose itself sooner than a sheep. So apt is it to go astray and then so inapt to find the way back, in the words of Matthew Henry. Nevertheless, it is God Himself, our shepherd. It is God Himself, our shepherd, who restores us and brings us back to the paths of righteousness. That's why David, with full confidence, can say, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." For God gives us everything that we need. He provides for us care, comfort. He feeds us. He guides us. He supports us. But not only that a shepherd provides food, shelter, water, and cure for sickness, he also protects the flock, the sheep under his care. For this reason, let us all be reminded that God is a shepherd only to those who, touched with the sense of their own weakness and poverty, feel their need of His protection, and who willingly abide in His sheepfold and surrender themselves to be governed by Him. David testifies to the reality that although children and people of God, as sheep of His pasture, we are not promised a life in this fallen, sinful world, a life that is free from any toil, suffering, persecution, troubles, dangers, and death. But God, as our shepherd, He protects us, that even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we ought not fear evil, because God assures us His abiding presence. God assures us His abiding presence, that He is with us, like a shepherd who walks with the flock through the deepest valley and the steepest ravine. He does not abandon His flock. What does He do? We can see here in Psalm 23. He holds the rod and staff, ready to club and drive the deadliest predator away, and to pull the sheep from imminent danger back to the right path, and to make sheep go under the rod and staff as he counts them one by one. You know, as I was preparing this sermon, I watched videos in YouTube about shepherds in the Middle East. This is actually what they do. So when they count the sheep, they not that they herd the sheep, but they tap the head of the sheep one by one, counting them. I don't know what kind of language they speak there, but it's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and so on and so forth. That's what they do. And then some sheep would not really follow, and they will try to drive them to the right path. That's what God does to us, doesn't he? God protects us from the enemy. But there's also one thing that we should always keep in mind. God also protects us from ourselves. God protects us from ourselves. From the dangers we stubbornly inflict upon ourselves and upon each other because of our disobedience. Especially when we foolishly choose to behave not as sheep, but as wolves, biting and devouring one another. God protects us from ourselves. The Lord manifests and exhibits to us all these things with his abiding presence, through which we may have firm confidence and fervent communion with him through his word. For we have received what the Father has promised to us, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, the fulfillment of his promise in the days of old, that he himself will shepherd his own people, who will call upon himself, gather all his sheep into one flock, who shall lay down his sheep, his own life for his sheep, who himself shall pass through death and live to guide his flock through death in order to reach the land he prepared for his flock. And that leads us to our second and last point. You can smile now. Not only that God gives us everything that we need, he also guarantees our eternal dwelling. He guarantees our eternal dwelling. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. David continues to show how God lavishly pours his favor upon his people, the sheep of his pasture. Like what I've read, it says here, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. You know, Grace OPC, I do really pray that all of us would really capture the beauty and wonder of this truth. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. The Sovereign Lord Himself commits to the work of preparing the table before us. Welcomes us with tremendous honor as He anoints our head with oil and makes sure that our cup overflows with heavenly royal wealth deemed fit for the children of the King, who actually belongs to His house. God is so generous. God is so generous in our Lord Jesus Christ, through our Lord Jesus Christ, that He did not stop at treating us as His mere guest. What did He do? He called us as His own people, His own children, according to His promise. And how does He do it again? How does He do it again? You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Let me emphasize one part of that. In the presence of our enemies. Naturally, we will not feast in the presence of our enemies, right? Because we are vulnerable. We're open to threat. Right? Like right now in our situation in the Philippines, you know, China is grabbing portions of our territory. But there's nothing that we could do. We could not rejoice, let alone fight for our territory. Because we know that we are going to be sitting ducks if they so decide to wage war against our country. So naturally, you cannot enjoy, you cannot feast in the presence of your enemies, right? But God assures us here. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. In the presence of our enemies, where we see and behold the wicked stares of our enemies, even of our fiercest enemy, that is death. Yet we are assured of this, because it is only in the presence of the Lord, our Shepherd, we may feast with full confidence, without any fear or trepidation, because we are assured that God has already won the war for us. They may try everything to intimidate us, like what China is doing to many of our brothers and sisters in Christ there who share the same faith but don't share the same freedom that we have. They may try everything to intimidate all the sheep of our Lord Jesus Christ, to make us believe that we are lost sheep without a shepherd, that we are just one bite away from a certain demise. But the Lord our Shepherd silences all his foes with a loud voice. It is finished. It is finished. Christ has already accomplished that which is needed for us to receive the benefits of God's promise. I will be your God and you will be my people. The war has already been won. The war has already been won. And the eternal dwelling which the Lord has promised to all who belongs to Him has already been earned and secured for us by the obedience and sacrifice of the Good Shepherd who suffered as the Lamb that takes away the sins of the world, making us citizens of the city built not by hands of man but by God Himself. This morning in our Sunday school, that was discussed. That those who belong to the city of God, that city is not built by the hands of man, but by God Himself. For God's glory, for God, prepared for the people of God. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, we are guaranteed of our eternal dwelling. Our eternal dwelling in that city, built not by hands of man, but by God Himself. For this reason, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ calls us to a heavenly feast. Our Lord Jesus Christ calls us to a heavenly feast. That through the Holy Spirit who lifts us up to the presence of the Almighty, we feast upon this broken bread, we feast upon the broken body of our Lord Jesus Christ, signified by the bread, and upon His shed blood, signified by the cup, which we partake as the flock of the chief shepherd, called and gathered together by Him who knows us by name. As simple and ordinary as the bread and the cup seem to be, God ordained these means. Together with the proclamation of the word and the promise given to us through the water of baptism, to strengthen us, to revitalize us, to prepare us, and to lead us as sojourners or pilgrims in this fallen world, awaiting the return of our King, the Chief Shepherd, to finally take us with Him into that land or city where there is no more beast to endanger the sheep, where there is no end to green pastures where the sheep may feed upon, where there is that never-ending river of gentle waters where the sheep may drink from, where the scorching heat of the sun would never threaten the sheep, for we shall all be under the shadow of the wings of the Almighty. The Lord our Shepherd prepares a table for us to feast with overflowing cup in front of our enemies, in front of God's enemies, so that God may also stir them up to jealousy. For them to see how awful it is to fall upon the hands of the Almighty God, that they may also be desire to be also reconciled with Him, that they may also be counted among the flock of our God, to become a member of His house, not only as His servants but also as His sons, according to the promise that He accomplished through us, through His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Probably the last quote from John Calvin. This is really beautiful. Calvin wrote, David knew well how to distinguish between the table which God had prepared for him and a trough for swine. Let me say that once again. David knew well how to distinguish between the table which God had prepared for him and a trough for swine. But David knew also, David knew even better, that the bountiful blessings he enjoyed through God's provision for his earthly needs are but a shadow of the heavenly and eternal inheritance graciously prepared for him by God himself through the Good Shepherd, which he promised through his word. That's why David did not say, surely green pastures, quiet waters, feast table, and overflowing cup shall follow me all the days of my life in this fallen world where I am content to dwell forever. He did not say that. Surely my GMC truck or my three bank accounts shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will enjoy my retirement forever. That's not what the Bible say. It says. That's not what David wrote here. What did he say? He said instead, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The ultimate comfort and care David anchored himself upon are not the temporal earthly blessings which he had, no matter how bountiful they were. Instead, he anchored himself upon the truth of God's word, that God is the good shepherd who assured him of his abiding presence, whether in the darkest valleys or in the greenest pastures in this world. And what better promise can we hold on to? What better promise can we hold on to than the promise of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who, after he suffered and died on the cross for our sins, as the good shepherd who laid down his life for his sheep, he rose again from the grave, and that before he ascended back to heaven and sat at the right hand of the Father, he promised to us that he shall not leave us as orphans, but that he will be with us until the very end of the age through the Holy Spirit, with whom we are sealed as indeed true sheep belonging to God. That's why the Reformation is not ashamed of confessing this confidence. Also encapsulated in one of the confessional standards of the Reformed Church in Heidelberg Catechism. What is your only comfort in life and in death? What is your only comfort in life and in death? That I, with body and soul, both in life and death, am not my own, but belong to my faithful Savior Jesus Christ, who with his precious blood has fully satisfied for all my sins and delivered me from the powers of the devil, and so preserves me that without the will of the Heavenly Father, not a hair shall fall from my head. That's a great comfort, right? Especially for men. Indeed, all things must be subservient to my salvation. Therefore, by his Holy Spirit, he also assures me of eternal life and makes me sincerely willing and ready henceforth to live unto him. Question number two. How many things are necessary for thee to know that thou, enjoying this comfort, mayest live and die happily? Three. The first, how great my sins and miseries are. Second, how may I be delivered from all my sins and miseries. Third and last, how shall I render gratitude to God for such deliverance? Indeed, because God is our good shepherd through our Lord Jesus Christ, he provides us all things necessary for our soul and body, that he will make whatever evils he sends upon us in this valley of tears to turn out to our advantage. That's why we can say all things work together for good to those who are called for his purpose, to those who love him. For he is able to do that because he is the Almighty God, and he is willing to do so because he is the faithful Father who shepherds his flock, upholding all things, that we may be patient in adversity and thankful in prosperity, that whatever may befall us, we place our firm trust in Him through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit. For nothing shall separate us from the love of the Father. For more than the bountiful blessings He willingly shower upon us, He assures us His abiding presence, that we may seek care and comfort from Him alone, in fervent communion and firm confidence through His Word. Matthew Henry writes, "Goodness and mercy, having followed me all the days of my life on this earth, when that is ended, I shall remove to a better world, to dwell in the house of the Lord forever, in our Father's house above, where there are many mansions. With what I have, I am pleased much. With what I hope for, I am pleased more." Where do you place your trust and confidence? Where do you run to for care and comfort, for hope and assurance, for shelter and protection, for strength to your feeble knees, for water to quench the thirst of your parched throat, for food that shall satisfy your soul, or for the balm of healing to soothe and cure our wounds, for the rod and staff to protect you from beast and yourself? Are you still running on your own? Are you still running on your own, thinking that you may find the way to everlasting blessedness with yourself as your own guide? How is it working for you? Are you choosing the dry and weary desert of this sinful world over the green pastures our good shepherd provides for His church? One of the biggest tragedies that may happen in the church is that when someone who is on his or her deathbed and the pastor talks to him or her, then he or she utters these words, "Pastor, I don't know if I have done enough. All the years that you have in the church, on your deathbed you will say, Pastor, I don't know if I have done enough." Are you trying to have your own green pasture, built upon the approval of men and the wisdom of this fallen world? Are you still trying your best to make yourself more acceptable to God, to make yourself more worthy to earn a seat at the table of God? Or are you trying to convince yourself that there is something you can do to hire God to be your shepherd? Listen to the voice of the Good Shepherd, my dear brothers and sisters here in Grace OPC. Listen to the voice of the Good Shepherd, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, calling you and reminding you through the proclamation of the gospel. For He knows you. He knows us by our name. For the sake of the name of the covenant-keeping God, the faithful one from everlasting to everlasting. Listen to the voice of the Good Shepherd inviting us, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Matthew 11:28-30. He shall never leave us. He shall never leave us nor forsake us, and He shall never disappoint. We shall not lack of anything that is for our good, for the good of His people, the sheep of His pasture. For He promised and assures His abiding presence to those who have been sealed for Him by His own blood. I have a close in this. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him. Oh, fear the Lord, you His saints, for those who fear Him have no lack. May it be the intense preoccupation of our minds and our hearts to meet our Good Shepherd together as His flock, as His body, His church, to sojourn together as sheep that Christ leads towards our eternal dwelling in the house of the Lord forever. Let us pray. Father, thank you so much although there is nothing that we can do, to find that the way to the everlasting blessedness, though we were lost, yet we found peace, joy, comfort, care, and security, and assurance because of who you are and what you have done for us through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, our Good Shepherd. Words are not enough to express the gratitude that we have in our hearts. Nevertheless, we shall continue to praise you with our lips, with our heart, and with our hands. Remind us of your word, of your promise, and the confidence that we have, not on what we have done, but because of what our Good Shepherd has done for us, our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.